Okay, let's go on to the next ayah. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ. But if you want to replace one wife, مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ, with another wife, وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا, and you have given one of them a great amount in gifts, فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا, then do not take back from it anything. أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا, would you take it in injustice and manifest sin? We see that sometimes the relationship between a man and wife, it does not work out. The man does not like the wife, فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ, and he is constantly looking for the positives, but it's just not working out. For instance, if it's the manner that the wife speaks in, each time the man speaks to her, she shouts at him, she yells at him, what's going to happen? Eventually the man is going to explode. Eventually he's going to reach the limit of his patience. So sometimes the relationship, it goes to the extent of being severed. So a man, he dislikes his wife so much so that he wishes to divorce her. He pronounces divorce, or he intends to divorce her at least. And he intends that he will get married to somebody else. Like for instance, if a relationship between a husband and wife is not going on well, what do other people suggest? Divorce her, get married to somebody else. It happens. You can get married to somebody else. So if a man wishes to divorce his first wife, and he wishes to take another wife in her place, you understand? He wishes to divorce the first wife and wishes to take another wife in her place, marry somebody else in her place, then what is the command over here? That don't take back anything from the first wife. Because you see, the first wife, he had given her mahr. Now he thinks, she's not good to me, I don't like her, I want to get rid of her, and I want to marry somebody else. And he had given a lot of mahr to the first one. What does he want to do? Take the mahr from the first one so that he can give it to the new wife. That's what many people do sometimes. That's what happens many, many times. That at the time of divorce, everything is demanded from the woman. Everything. From the jewelry, to the clothes, to the money, everything is demanded. Why? So that the man can now give it to the woman that he marries after her. So over here, we learn that this is also forbidden. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ. أَرَدْتُمْ, from the root letters رَا وَاوْ دَالْ إِرَادَ, meaning you choose to. You intend to, meaning you choose to. And the address is to who? The husbands. If you choose to, استبدال. استبدال is from بَدَلًا, بَدَل, to change. استبدال, replace, substitute, exchange. So if you intend to replace زوجين, a wife, مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ, in place of a wife, by divorcing the first and marrying a new one in her place, وَآتَيْتُمْ, and you gave إِحْدَاهُنَّ, one of them. One of who? One of the wives. Which wife is this? The one whom you intend to divorce, the first one. وَهِيَ الْأُولَى. So you had given her قِنْطَارًا. What is a qintar? A huge amount of wealth, heaped up amount of wealth, accumulated wealth. Because remember, qintar gives a sense of height. It gives a sense of stacking one thing on top of the other, layering one thing on top of the other. So just imagine one gold set on top of the other, one stack of money on top of the other. You had given her qintar. Similarly, sometimes qintar is given in the form of clothes to the wife at the time of marriage. That one bag full of clothes on top of another bag full of clothes on top of another bag full of clothes, literally bags and bags of clothes. So وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا, you had given one of them a qintar as a mahr or as a gift at the time of marriage or after marriage. فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا, then do not take from it anything. From what? From the qintar. Meaning do not take back from the woman anything that you had given her. And this is especially after the man has had relations with her. Especially after the man has had relations with the first wife. فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا, it's not permissible for you. And notice the word شيئا is نكرة, that you cannot take back anything, a little or a lot. Something very small or something very big. A few things or many things. No, nothing at all you can take back. أتأخذونه, would you take it, بهتانا, by false accusation, وإثما مبينا, and a sin that is clear? What does it mean by this? You see, from here we learn that it's not permissible for a man to take back the mahar. But what is the only case in which the man can take back the mahar? In the case of the woman committing zina, or in the case of al-khula. So, what would some men do? As I mentioned to you, that some men, they would accuse their wives of zina. That she has committed zina. This child is not mine, she is pregnant with. This is not my child. Why? Why would the man do this? So that the woman would take khula, or through li'an, what would happen? He would take back the mahar. So over here, Allah questions the man. Would you take back the mahar from the woman by buhtan, by falsely accusing her of zina? Buhtan is from the root letters bahata. And bahata is to become shocked. It is to be astonished, to become speechless. Remember we learned earlier in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. Nimrud, who had a debate with Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him that my Rabb is the one who brings out the sun from the east, so you bring it out from the west. What happened to the disbeliever? He was buhita, he was dumbfounded, he was left speechless. He was so shocked, he didn't know what to say. So buhtan is an accusation that shocks people. It makes them speechless, they don't know what to say. It's shocking. So over here, buhtan refers to which buhtan? Accusation of zina. That would you take back the mahar by falsely accusing the wife of fahisha, wa isma mubina, and by committing a clear sin? Why is it called isma mubina? That on the part of the man, this is going to be a clear sin. There's no doubt about this act being incorrect. So we see that it is forbidden to take the mahar back from the woman in any case, except in the case of khula or li'an. And this is mentioned over here so that no man can think, no man can assume that just because he is divorcing the first wife and taking another in her place, he has a right to take back the mahar from the first one and give it to the second one. No, this is also not allowed. وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ? And how can you take it? Meaning, how can you legalize taking it back? What right do you have to take the mahar back from the wife? وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ, while you have gone in unto each other. Meaning you have had sexual relationship with one another. That you have enjoyed her, and now you're falsely accusing her, and you're taking the mahar from her. You see, the mahar, it becomes mandatory on the man to give, especially upon establishing sexual relationship with the wife. It becomes mandatory. Which is why we see that nikah, it's possible that a man and a woman, they just have the nikah done, but they're living separately. So if the man does not give the mahar to the wife, it's okay at that time. But if he establishes sexual relationship with her, then the mahar must be given and the walima must take place. Alright? After the establishment of sexual relationship, what must be done? The mahar must be given to the wife. Must be. It's an obligation. It's a faridah. And the walima also must be done. Because sometimes it happens that a man and woman, they have their nikah done and they're living separately and they're having sexual relationship. However, the man does not give the mahar to the wife until the actual rukhsati takes place. Or the actual walima takes place. And the walima, it is scheduled 2 years after. Or 3 years after. It's not fair for the woman. If she's being enjoyed sexually, then she has to be given her mahar. It is her right. So over here Allah questions, وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ? How can you take it back? وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. The word أَفْضَى is from the root letters فَاء ضَاد وَاو. From the word فَضَى. فَضِيَ يَفْضَى is to be alone. What does it mean? To be alone. And أَفْضَى يُفْضِي is to mix, or to mingle, or to join one thing with another. And figuratively, this word is used for sexual relationship between a husband and wife. Meaning a sexual intercourse between a husband and wife. And obviously, they are alone at that time. So fada, what does it mean? To be alone. And afda yufdi is to join one thing with another. So وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ, while some of you have gone in unto each other, meaning you have benefited from each other in private. And upon this, the mahar becomes wajib. So how can you demand the mahar back? What reason do you have? How can you legalize it? You cannot. How could you? If you do it, it would be wrong on your part. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا, and they have taken from you a misaq that is غَلِيظ. Who have taken? أَخَذْنَا, the women. Because see the noon, there's no alif afterwards. So this is a sign of feminine. So those women, meaning the wives, they have taken from you misaqan ghaleela. What is a misaq? A covenant. And it is more strong than an ahd. How? That wasaqa is to bind, to tie something. So misaq is a covenant that is made strong, how? By both the parties swearing. By both the parties taking oaths. Or by writing out the contract. Because once it has been written and there are witnesses present, what happens to that promise? It's not an ordinary promise. It becomes a very firm and solemn promise. And notice the sifa, the adjective of the word mithaq. What is the adjective? It is ghaliz. What is ghaliz? When something is tough, when something is solid, it is thick. And when something is solid and thick, it is tough. It cannot be broken easily. It cannot be broken easily. So mithaqan ghaliza, what does this refer to? This mithaqan ghaliza refers to uqdatun nikah, the tie of marriage. That you got married to them. And these women, they have a mithaqan ghaliza from you. What mithaqan ghaliza from you? That you made a promise that you were going to spend on them, that you were going to give them their mahar, that you were going to take care of them, you were going to be responsible for them. So now, after getting together and after enjoying her sexually, what are you doing? You're demanding the mahar back from her? How can you do that? They have a promise from you that you will definitely give them the mahar. And you gave them the mahar. So how can you take it back? And if it's a misaq, it's a promise, the promise Allah is going to question you about. As we learn in Surah Al-Isra, Ayah 34, وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا, and fulfill every commitment, every promise. Why? Because indeed the commitment is ever that about which one will be questioned. A person will be questioned about his commitment. So they have a مِثَاقًا غَلِيظًا from you. How is the nikah مِثَاقًا غَلِيظًا? That it's not just a contract between a man and woman, but rather is a contract between a man and the woman's wali. There is somebody else who's making that contract for her. Like for instance, if you yourself cannot do something, and you hire a lawyer, or you get the help of somebody, why do you do that? To ensure that that work is done properly. So similarly, the wali is there. It's not just her, the wali. And it's not just the wali, it's the witnesses. Mithaqan ghaliza. It's a contract. Many times a nikah is also written. And the mahar is given. All of this is what? It's a mithaqan ghaliza. So you made a solemn promise with them. How can you just dissolve it? How can you just break it like that? Or how can you not give them the mahar? Or how can you demand the mahar from them? How can you? You have no reason to do that. You have no right to do that. Let's listen to the recitation of these two ayat, and then we'll look at the lessons that we can learn from these two ayat.
وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا وكيف تأخذونه وقد أفضى بعضكم إلى بعض وأخذن منكم ميثاقا غليظا.
So what do we learn from these ayat? So first of all, we see that we learn about the permissibility of marrying a second wife. Okay? Because sometimes a man, he would have a wife and he would want to marry a second one, and he would want to take the mahar from the first one in order to give it to the second one. So basically, recycle the same mahar. So first of all, we learn about the permissibility of marrying a second wife, and also the permissibility of replacing the first with another. And we also learn about the prohibition of taking back the mahar from the first wife and giving it to the second wife. What else do we learn? The thing is, once you give something to someone, it's their property. And no matter who you are, whether you are their mother-in-law or their sister-in-law or their aunt or their grandmother, whoever, you cannot take it back. Because it's clearly forbidden to take back a gift that a person has given. And if at the time of nikah you set a condition that in case of divorce then you must return this one item, okay, but this is not correct, because who is it that you value? Is it the new bride who's coming into your house, or is it the gold that you're valuing? And if the bride is coming into the house, you know, with the burden that, oh my God, this thing is with me, and if I get divorced, this is not going to be with me, and she's being told at the time of nikah that if there is a divorce, you know, what kind of feelings is that going to create between a husband and wife, or between a woman and her in-laws? Not happy feelings. You can't take back what you've given. We also learn from this ayah about the permissibility of kathratul mal, of owning a lot of wealth. We learn from this ayah about the permissibility of owning a lot of wealth, because sometimes people think that it's not right, it's not good, you shouldn't own too much money, you shouldn't own too many things. But the thing is that if a person owns a lot of wealth and he uses it correctly, he pays zakat on it, he gives sadaqah from it, he looks after the poor and needy, the relatives, then it is good. Where do we learn this lesson from this ayah? From the word qintar. Because a person can only afford to give a qintar if he has several qintar himself. We also learned that about the permissibility of giving a huge amount of wealth as mahar. The permissibility of giving a huge amount of wealth as mahar. Because over here it has been said, if you've given a qintar as mahar, what does this show? That you are allowed to give a qintar as mahar. Because sometimes people think that it's not that righteous, it's not that good. No, there's no haraj, there's no sin, there's no harm. As long as a person can actually afford to give it, not that he's taking a loan and then he's giving. He can actually afford to give it, then it's okay. And we learn from the incident of Umar radhiyallahu anhu, at his time when he was a khalifa, people were giving a lot of mahar to their wives at the time of marriage. So we learned that once he stood up on the mimbar of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that, O people, why do you exaggerate concerning the mahar given to the women? The Messenger of Allah and his companions used to pay up to 400 dirhams for a mahar, or less than that. And that was also because they couldn't afford much at that time. Had paying more for a mahar been a part of taqwa or honor, you would not have let them in this practice. Therefore, I do not want to hear about a man who pays more than 400 dirhams for a mahar. He then went down the mimbar, but a woman from the Quraysh said to him, O leader of the faithful, you prohibited people from paying more than 400 dirhams in mahar for women. He said, yes. She said, have you not heard what Allah sent down in the Quran? He said, which part of the Quran? And she said, have you not heard Allah's statement, وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا? If you've given one of them a qintar. So Umar radhiyallahu anhu said, O Allah, forgive me. He said, O Allah, forgive me. And he then went back and stood up on the mimbar, saying that I had prohibited you from paying more than 400 dirham in mahar for the women, so that everyone pay whatever he likes from his money. So what does this show to us? The permissibility of giving a huge amount of wealth as mahar, as long as a person can afford it. Also we learn about the obligation of giving the mahar to the woman upon the consummation of marriage. That once the marriage has been consummated, then the mahar must be given to the woman. Sometimes at the time of nikah, the woman has no idea about how much mahar she's getting. Sometimes even her parents don't know. Because sometimes out of shyness, people don't discuss these matters. But the fact is that this is one of the conditions. This is one of the main pillars of nikah. So therefore, at the time of marriage, it should be understood, and upon the consummation of marriage, it must be given to the woman. And we also learn about the prohibition of taking anything at all, whether big or small, because shay'an has been said from the mahar that the man has given to his wife, unless if she gives it herself. As we learned earlier in Surah An-Nisa, that if a woman willingly طِبِنَ لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ, then that's permissible. We learn from a hadith, which is mentioned in Abu Dawood, that the parable, the example of the one who gives a gift and then takes it back, is like that of a dog which eats till when it is satisfied. The dog that eats until it is satisfied, and then the dog vomits and then eats his vomit. This is the example of the person who gives a gift and takes it back. That you're giving it out of your desire, like the dog who is consuming to fulfill his desire. And then what does the dog do? He vomits. And then he eats up that vomit. Just imagine. So when a person takes back a gift that he has given to someone, it is like the dog who is eating up his vomit. So this is something that is clearly forbidden, and it's abhorrent, it is disliked. It is something very selfish. Very selfish. So this is something that is forbidden. Also we learn that marriage, the marriage contract, it is not an ordinary contract. It is not an ordinary relationship, but rather it is a mithaqan ghaliza. It is a solemn promise. And about an ahd, what do we learn? That innal ahda kana mas'ula. The ahd is going to be questioned about. So a person should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fulfilling his duties towards his spouse or her spouse. Because at the end of the day, this is a misaq between, yes, you and your spouse. But who is going to question you? Allah is going to question you. So a person should be fearful of Allah in fulfilling the rights of the spouse, in being dutiful towards the spouse. And because the nikah is a very strong contract, it's a mithaqan ghaliza, so on small and minor issues, on small and minor differences, one should not think of just dissolving this contract. Alright? Because sometimes it's just a very small issue, very tiny issue, and people think, oh, we cannot live together anymore. She said this to my mother, that's it, khalas, finished. No. Have some tolerance, have some patience. On every small little difference, don't think of dissolving this relationship, because this is mithaqan ghaliza. And mithaqan ghaliza, it is a solemn promise because it is made, you can say, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we learned in the beginning of the surah, that وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Fear Allah with regards to the arham as well. So it's a contract that is made in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, meaning it's not just an ordinary contract that you give me money and I'll give you this thing, no. But rather this is something very sacred. This is something sacred. So it's mithaqan ghaliza. Let's listen to the recitation.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَرِثُوا النِّسَاءَ كَرْهًا وَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة وعاشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا وإن أردتم استبدال زوج مكان زوج وآتيتم إحداهن قنطارا وآتيتم إحداهن قنطارا فلا تأخذوا منه شيئا أتأخذونه بهتانا وإثما مبينا وكيف تأخذونه وقد أفضى بعضكم إلى بعض وأخذن منكم ميثاقا غليظا